Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Pettigrew, and I'm delighted to have with me on Faith and Family the pastor of Advent United Church of Christ, Reverend Colin Jones. Now, you know, this is February, and the American Heart Association is encouraging all of us to become aware of our heart health. So it's Heart Health Awareness Month. And the goal is to raise awareness about heart health and prevent heart disease. You can go to hashtag Our Hearts Are Healthier Together movement for information about our hearts. And I have with me today to discuss his journey into heart health, Pastor Colin Jones. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I genuinely appreciate it.
Well, when I called you to talk about our regularly joining together every 3 months or so about a topic, we had talked about that in terms of spiritual health, I got a surprise. Yeah. And I learned that my favorite pastor had had a heart attack.
Absolutely. It was devastating. Not only to myself, but to my family and my congregation, a total shock to my system. Mm-hmm. It was unexpected and just came out of nowhere. And so this Friday, the 14th, Valentine's Day, will be 3 months since my heart attack. So I've had a major life adjustment on many levels.
You know, when you told me the story, I was just so grateful that I was actually talking with you.
Yeah.
And that you were in recovery.
Yes.
And that you were on your journey to heart health. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that you just said it was unexpected.
That's correct.
What made it unexpected?
Well, you know, it was November 14th, around 7:30 p.m. That particular date is, you know, drilled in my psyche and in my spirit.
Yes, I'm sure.
I was working out with my trainer and my gym partner when all of a sudden I began to have this burning sensation. Mm. And I'm just like, what's going on? It's the last round. And I tried to regroup and I couldn't regroup. I told my trainer, I said, I need to, take a break, for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I got nauseous and, of course, at that time, I was unaware that this was, a symptom of having a heart attack.
Course.
So I got nauseous and ended up throwing up twice, tried to regroup to resume my last round, but I could not because of this constant burning sensation. And I told my trainer, I have to go. It took me forever to put my clothes back on. And I said, let me just be still. Let me just get in the car and be still. Let me lay down and do everything that I can to kind of bring a sense of peace and resolve to my situation. Mm-hmm. But nothing that I was doing provided consolation. Nothing that I did resolve provide comfort to me. Mm-hmm. And so I told my trainer that I was good because she was checking in on me to making sure that I was okay. I told her I was good. You can go ahead and go. I'm going to pick up my son because he was in swimming. It's around 7:30 at night. I pick him up at 8:30. I said, he's at swimming right down the street. I'll just go pick him up. And so I drove down Hamilton Road And I called my wife and I shared with her. I said, baby, I don't know what's going on. I just got this burning sensation and I'm really scared. And I really don't know what to do. And so I arrived at the YMCA where my son swims. And there was he already knew that something was going on because my normal behavior is to pick him up at the door. Mm-hmm. But this time, I was in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. So he was wondering, you know, where I was. And so when I told him to meet me in the parking lot, you know, he ended up Googling because my son is the researcher in the mm-hmm. family. So he'll mm-hmm. Google everything. Mm-hmm. So he Googled my symptoms and he said, you know, Dad, I think you're having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And so by that time, my wife had arrived and she took me to the ER. But even on the way, I said, you know what, baby, I've never had heartburn before. So, you know, maybe this is severe heartburn. Mm-hmm. So maybe let's just stop at CVS and mm-hmm. I can get some kind
mistake.
Of medication. And
common
I just want to go home
mistake.
And
yes.
get in the bed.
Common mistake.
And I praise God for my wife mm-hmm. for not listening to me. Mm-hmm. She said, no, mm-hmm. I'm taking you to the ER. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and had I now I know that had I gone home mm-hmm. like I wanted to, mm-hmm. there is no question mm-hmm. I would have died. Mm-hmm. There is no question mm-hmm. I would have died. And so she asked me, you know, what hospital I wanted to go to. I told her, well, you know, take me to OSU Maine. And we're on 670 East, and we're about to cross over Leonard Avenue. And so she asked me again, what hospital do you want to go to? Because OSU East was right there. And the pain at that point was mm-hmm. so bad, I said, I don't care. Just take me to the closest place. And so we go to OSU mm-hmm. East, and the emergency department, we're going to triage. They do the EKG, and the lady says, you know, this is something. I'm like, you know, what something? She didn't have the authority, you know, to tell me. So they wheel me into the trauma room, and a whole team is waiting for me. A whole team is waiting for me. And by this point, I'm like, my anxiety and my nervousness and me being scared has mm-hmm. just increased dramatically. And I'm yes. just like, what in the world is going on? Mm-hmm. And about good, I have no idea how many people were in there, but a good mm-hmm. 5 to 7 or so mm-hmm. people were in there. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, you know, they stripped me, they connected me to everything, mm-hmm. and they gave me some medication, and I shared with them. I said, okay, I can go home now, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like, no, sir, mm-hmm. you're having a heart attack. And I'm just like, what? What? I'm crying. I have no idea what's going on. How can this happen? I'm 41 years old, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I eat relatively well. I exercise on a consistent basis. How in the world is this happening? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in that room very long. The staff at OSU East were absolutely phenomenal mm-hmm. in terms of timeliness mm-hmm. and professionalism. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing I knew, I was on the fifth floor, which is their cath lab. Mm-hmm. And I later discovered that my left coronary artery was 80% blocked. Mm-hmm. And my right coronary artery was 100% blocked. Mm-hmm. And the cardiologist, he was on call. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to call his name, so I'll just, you know, use, mm-hmm. you know, my cardiologist who was on call ended up coming over to the OSU East, and all he told me was, Mr. Jones, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about a thing. And later, when I later on arrived in the intensive care, they told me that I have 4 stents, and that's a lot. For one time, mm-hmm. and especially for someone who is so young. And so the intensive care, everyone in the intensive care, I was in there for a few days, and the staff, they were phenomenal. Each one of those nurses gave me something different to take home with. One nurse, he broke it down, you know, basically heart attacks for dummies, you mm-hmm. know, ABC. Mm-hmm. Another nurse, you know, she kept it real with me and mm-hmm. basically was telling me about my diet and things like that. Mm-hmm. They had a challenging time regulating my blood pressure. Okay. It has skyrocketed a lot, uh-huh. and so but they were on point with everything, mm-hmm. and then transitioned to the cardiac floor on the fifth floor. As well for the next, I was there for 7 days.
Okay,
I was in the
good.
Hospital total for 7 days. Then the question was raised by each physician, why are you here? You're so young and you eat relatively well, you exercise on a consistent basis, what's going on? And they've also asked me, have you had that this feeling before? Mm-hmm. And my immediate response was, no, I haven't had, but I actually have. Mm-hmm. When I was left at night, now my wife stayed with me, you know, throughout, but even when she's asleep, I'm left alone with mm-hmm. my feelings mm-hmm. and being upset because I'm staring out the window and I'm watching all the cars go by and everyone is in mm-hmm. their life and I'm here in this hospital room. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, Colin, you have had this feeling before, mm-hmm. But as quick as it came, it went away. Mm-hmm. And each time I experienced that feeling, it was when I was working out. And really, the cause of that was I was asking my body to give me oxygen, and it didn't have to give.
Yeah.
And so the heart attack, me working out for as long as I have been, actually prolonged my heart attack. Mm-hmm. And my genes played a very, very large role mm-hmm. into this. Now, post my heart attack, I'm learning about a family history of heart disease. Mm-hmm. My father had congestive heart failure, mm-hmm. had a pacemaker. My uncle passed away from a heart attack when he was 43 years old. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of, although it's a very unfortunate situation, about 3.5 months ago, I buried my cousin who died mm-hmm. of a heart attack, and he was 40 years mm-hmm. old. So now that I've had this experience, I'm learning about family history mm-hmm. that I did not connect mm-hmm. before. I didn't connect the dots mm-hmm. with me, you know, mm-hmm. before. And so now my life is totally upended. I have to develop a discipline mm-hmm. of taking medication.
Yes.
I had not taken medication prior to that date, November mm-hmm. 14th, mm-hmm. and now I'm on 6 different medications. But my wife has been instrumental in helping me establish a mm-hmm. discipline. Now, my wife, I use more of as a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
I am the primary person. She cannot be the one constantly reminding me. I have to take ownership
Absolutely.
And full accountability
Absolutely.
And responsibility
Absolutely.
For that. But I check in with her, always mm-hmm. let her know what's mm-hmm. going on. But mm-hmm. she, you know, Colin, make sure you put your notifications or reminders mm-hmm. in your phone. Make sure that in our vehicles, you know, make sure that you put packets, you know, mm-hmm. in the car so that mm-hmm. if you leave and you forget, you've always got one with mm-hmm. you. And in the beginning, I'm just like, I don't need to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so one morning I was on my way to cardiac rehab. I do cardiac rehab 3 days a week. And one morning I was on my way to cardiac rehab. Of course, I forgot to take my medication.
Mm-hmm.
So after rehab was over, I had to drive all the way back home mm-hmm. to take my medication, and I had to mm-hmm. swallow my pride and call my wife and say, baby, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
So now I make sure that I'm always having my medication, you know, with me
mm-hmm.
and my exercise, which before it was, if I did it, I did it. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't, I didn't. Now it is,
You have to.
Every single day I have to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only that, but my diet has absolutely
mm-hmm.
changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. I'm transitioning. Now, this is just me, not anybody else, but
mm-hmm.
I'm transitioning away. Well, I've transitioned away from dairy,
mm-hmm.
Transitioning away from red meat. And I just
mm-hmm.
limit my protein intake to
mm-hmm.
fish and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I have increased my fruits and vegetables dramatically,
mm-hmm.
and I'm eating clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've lost, as of today, I've lost 27 pounds since my heart attack.
Yes.
I was much heavier than what I am,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
right now. And I'm no longer drinking, you know, the sodas that I absolutely adore.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that I can't have one every once in a blue moon, but the consistency
mm-hmm.
in which that I was, you know, consuming
mm-hmm.
those types of things as well as foods, because I love going out to eat. but I'm on a 2,000 sodium restriction diet, and I was at a on a 2-liter all liquid restriction that has been lifted, but my 2,000 sodium restriction diet has that's just going to be the way it is.
That's right.
Learning about nutrition, you know, for example, sodium, I'm on a 2,000 milligram restriction, as I mentioned before. A half a teaspoon of salt contains 2,300 milligrams of sodium. So right there, and we're talking about added sodium. So our food already contains sodium in it, but we're talking about our seasoning salts, right, and our other kinds of salts. A half a teaspoon is already too much for me. So now, experimenting, there's a whole world of seasonings out there.
That's right.
Besides Lowry's.
That's
you know what I mean?
That's right.
And so I have to begin or continue to learn about seasonings, experiment with different types of seasonings so that I won't feel like totally that I'm missing out on everything.
Well, I'll have to send you, I'm forgetting the name, but a friend gave me some seasonings in the fall. And this is a store up north, and you can just go in, and there are all kinds of seasonings. I've always loved to cook with them, you don't want fillers and other things.
Yes.
So I'm going to send you the seasonings, herbs and spices that they make. And
I appreciate it.
You will love it.
Thank you.
They are wonderful. You know, I want you to continue with your story, but there were a couple of things that jumped out at me, unexpected. We talked about that.
Yes.
You were well exercised.
Yes.
The thing I see in that, though, was the blessing of exercising with other people.
Yes.
I've had some friends say, you know, we always exercised at home.
Yes.
And, you know, I had my DVDs and my all of that. And they begin to say, we don't do that anymore because we've had friends suffer heart attacks working, you know, jogging on their treadmills or doing their dance aerobics and aerobics at home alone, like us. And they had a heart attack and they were by themselves. I don't know. You can't make that a rule, but I do say that it was pretty wonderful that you were with other people.
Yes. And, you know, to tag along with what you're saying, I would suggest a both and as opposed to an either or. Now, we definitely understand that people have schedules and sometimes it's more convenient to work out at home, you know, alone. And there are all types of different, you know, gym memberships in terms of pricing and things like that. But oftentimes we end up having these memberships at these places and we're just spending money and we're not utilizing the membership. So whenever one can incorporate community into their exercise regimen as they include that and incorporating that in their lifestyle, it produces a result of it can last a lot longer. So definitely try to encourage, I would definitely promote a both and would be very, very beneficial.
Well, what we had started doing, if I'm on the treadmill, then he's with me.
Yes.
If he's doing it, I'm with him.
Yes.
And so it kind of works. Because when I was on the national staff, I had my tapes with me. So when I was traveling and I would go to speak or preach or whatever.
Yes.
Instead of going down for the breakfast, I had my own medical drink that my doctor had given me.
Yeah.
That was full of nutrition. So I would get up, turn on my tape, do my low impact aerobics, and then I would take my shake and then do my shower.
Yes.
And that meant that when I went down, I was ready
to
be engaged for the work of,
that
I was there for.
That's right.
So, but yeah, people knew I was up in my room.
Yes.
So in that sense, you had community.
If I can mention briefly about the unexpected, draw attention to that. So I also recognize that I've had to take personal accountability and responsibility and ownership. So I can definitely say that my genetics play a huge role.
Yes.
But the other part of that, being transparent, is when was the last time I went to a doctor?
Yes, I was going to mention that because we go regularly, you know, and I came, my family went regularly. They did. But that was one of the things we were talking about before the show.
Yes.
In terms of high blood pressure, if you don't go to the doctor regularly, you really don't know that you have high blood pressure.
And high blood pressure, particularly within the Black community and amongst our African American males, high blood pressure is a silent killer. And if we don't consistently go to a physician, then these things will catch us off guard, and we may not survive all of them. And so what can we do to be a part of preventive care? Because our lives are worth so much, not only to us individually, but to the families and our friends. You know, they all want us to be here for as long as possible. And so I want to promote being connected to a physician, and one that you trust. We have to build relationship with someone that you trust and that you can depend on and that you can call on, and that they will be there, you know, for you. So I had to take personal responsibility with, you know, I'm a busy person, you know, I'm bivocational. I have two jobs. I have a wife. I have kids. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But in terms of being taking space out for me and making sure that I do what I'm supposed to do, I was not doing that.
And self-care isn't selfish.
Correct.
It is really a generous gift that you give to yourself and all the people who love you.
That is absolutely correct.
And I think in that sense, maybe we need to be re-educated about that too.
Yes.
Because even sometimes the way the gospel is preached in terms of sacrifice, what does that mean?
We have
to unpack that.
Does
that mean just minimizing yourself to your, you know, just invisible to yourself, and everybody else's needs come before yours? No, not even as mothers and our babies.
Correct.
We have to take care of ourselves.
Correct.
So we have something to give to our babies and our spouses or our friends or whomever.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a very important message that as pastors we can share.
It very much is. And when we, you know, though of course the many of your listeners are not, they could be religious or not.
That's
or a part of different religious traditions, but you brought the gospel. You know, if we look at the model of Jesus, we see how, yes, he poured into the lives of so many people, gave and healed and delivered, etc. But the Gospels are also consistent in presenting a message that he would oftentimes withdraw from the crowd, leave the house early in the morning so that he could be by himself to recoup, to rejuvenate, and to be connected to and to connected to his Father. And so that also is a model for clergy who are involved in ministry, but also just everyday folk who are constantly giving to their kids, giving to their families, giving on their jobs. At what point do you press pause and say, hey, I am worthy of just of just that kind of self-care that I needed as well. So it's important that we withdraw as well.
Well, your example is particular to the Christian faith, but it's a universal message that you can find in all faiths, I do believe and have found, that self-care is very important.
It is.
We need to love our
love
God and our love ourselves and love our neighbor. So I wanted to raise that. Then I what popped up at me too was listening to your body.
Yes.
And while you were listening, maybe you kind of could have done a better job, but you did call out for help.
That's right. That's right.
You called your wife.
That's right. That's right. And I am alive today.
Yes.
Because of my wife.
That's right.
And I, there is no question within in my mind where I know that within my soul, because my wife, not only in terms of getting me to the hospital, but making sure that my diet is the way it needs to be, making sure that I'm resting my body appropriately, consistently checking in. So my wife has been very integral throughout this whole process. You
takes
cannot
family.
Do this thing by yourself.
I can't come in, you know, eating Big Macs and then serve you carrots and celery. That just won't work.
So that's a cultural shift. Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because when we talk about longevity and lifestyle change within the family, it is more difficult if it's just one person versus mm-hmm. the whole.
That's
and
right.
So my whole family, now we weren't poor eaters at all.
No.
But
no.
we have definitely been more intentional mm-hmm. on eating clean as a family. Mm-hmm. So much so that my son, bless his heart, who's 12 years old, he'll be 13. Uh-huh. So he wanted some fried mozzarella. Uh-huh. And so we said, okay, fine. You make you some fried mozzarella. And when he ate it, it was nasty. It was
that's
so
right.
full of grease.
That's right.
He's like, it's horrible.
That
I said,
true.
That's because
when you
you've been
clean,
eating
you
clean
yes,
this whole heat. He didn't want to accept
do.
That because he's
do.
12 years old,
yes.
you know. But
that's right. When you
as
eat
we
clean,
as
yes.
we adjust our lifestyle, certain things will be
yes.
will begin to
you don't even
transition
like it anymore.
That's right.
That's right. Because
yes.
that's been as our children grew up, we were all talking about eat clean, you
yes.
know. And you do get to point you don't want all that greasy stuff.
That's
it's
right.
not in good. But you can learn to oven fry. I don't know if you can oven fry
or air fry.
We have air fry.
Yes, that's been a great option that's been introduced.
Yes.
Now, still for me, you know, removing the skin. And,
yes.
you know, trying to be, you know, still be mindful. But that's been, air fry has been another option.
Yes.
And another component of that for me as a pastor, and I'm so grateful for my church, because they have been, they played another significant role in how I have been able to continue to prosper when it comes to not only resting my body, but also when it comes to food, how they are sensitive to what pastor, you know, is how we need to adjust to what he is eating.
That's right.
But we begin to share with them, it's not just about me. It's not just about my benefit.
Everybody.
It's about the whole congregation.
And when you eat clean, you just feel better.
You do.
You just feel better. I'm going to take that back. You listen very well to your body.
Yeah,
call your wife.
That's right.
It prompted you to say, any hospital will do.
Any hospital will
yes,
do. Yes,
you
ma'am.
Listen very well to your
yes.
body. And the eating clean is very important. And when we come back, we just have a few minutes on this segment.
Yes, ma'am.
So we've mentioned air frying.
Yes.
And I love my air fryer.
Yes.
And then, of course, oven frying, too. And then the fact that we actually wean ourselves away from fatty foods and foods that aren't good for us by eating clean. It's
that's
just,
right.
just a natural change in our taste buds.
That's right.
When we come back, I want to talk about grief
yes.
and fear.
Yes.
That's
a part of the whole process
bit.
As well.
Yes.
Yes.
yes. I can remember when I was a little girl, of course, I didn't know what high blood pressure was, but I remember my grandfather coming down to our house to talk to my mom, and he had been to the doctor, and he and grandma, and he said, I've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I have to get off of salt
mm-hmm.
and everything. And he said, oh, I just feel like crying, mm-hmm. because he was from the South.
Yes.
Used to, but my grandmother, she just got in there, changed his diet, the
yes.
ate clean. So high blood pressure, you know, eventually at 75, he had a stroke. And they did a open heart surgery. Because they said his body was like a 65-year-old man.
Mm.
So it paid off.
That's right.
Well, she was the greatest cook, but
yes.
we enjoyed her cooking, but it was healthy.
Yes.
All right, we're going to a break now.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio. The way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. ash-kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33. With not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment. With the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Well, this is Dr. Pettigrew with Pastor Colin Jones, pastor of Advent United Church of Christ, 2303 North Cassidy Avenue. And we're talking about Pastor Jones's journey into heart health. And before we continue, I just want to give you this information. Nationwide CVS Minute Clinics February the 13th and the 20th are offering free heart health screenings at no cost. This is the CVS Minute Clinics nationwide, February 13th and 20th, and they're offering free heart health screenings at no cost. Now, what you do need to do is to contact your Minute Clinic. You can do that through the CVS by phone or online and make an appointment for your free heart health screening. I just want you to know that. That's an action step that you can take as you're listening to Pastor Jones' journey. And he's doing quite well on his journey, and we're just thanking God that he is. He looks good, he feels healthy, eating clean, and has some wonderful, wonderful words for you. Now, I heard you sort of touch on grief.
Yes.
Fear, and I just want you to say a little more about that.
Yes. You know, when I'm in that hospital room, without question, I was afraid. As a matter of fact, when I was on the cath, when I was in the cath lab,
yes,
I felt so vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
While particularly two, one, when I was waiting for the doctor to arrive, because and technology, medical technology is absolutely amazing. So they prepped me for two entryways or two sites. Mm-hmm. One was through my groin, and then the second one was through my wrist.
Okay.
And it was, you know, up to the physician how she or he wanted to proceed. And so they went through my wrist. I was grateful they went through my wrist. So they went through my wrist, and they do the cath all the way up to my heart.
I see.
And I was so vulnerable to what my heart was or was not going to do. And I was just like, God, you know, forgive me for everything. I really did think that, you know, I didn't know what was going
to
happen.
Yes,
yes,
the unknown.
I was very scared.
Of course.
You know, with my wife and my kids.
Yes.
Or with life.
Yes.
You know, just with life. And even in the hospital room, you know, when I was by myself at night, that's when my thoughts haunted me, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I was faced to reckon a lot of things and to fight.
Mm-hmm.
To fight to be alive, not just for my family and my friends and work and things like that, but for me, because
I
genuinely, you know, wanted to live, but also recognize that this was a trauma.
Yeah,
that I experienced, and so in addition to processing that information or this event, you know, with my wife and my friends, but I need to go to counseling.
Yes,
I need someone to help me process
this
out, so that I can be healthy, not only physically, but I can be healthy, you know, emotionally and psychologically. Because the truth of the matter is, if I do not heal mentally in particular,
I
will go back and revisit those same behaviors that brought me to that point
in the
first place.
That's right.
And so going through counseling has helped me process. And one of the times when I really recognized that I do need to go back to counseling is when I was, you know, going on YouTube and researching, listening to different people's stories on what their heart attack experience was.
Oh.
It's nothing for me to share, if you will, but I'm more intentional on inserting feeling into my story.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to others was a trigger. Pain.
Yes.
And that night. And so I said, you know, Colin, you really need to, you know, talk to somebody who has a lot more awareness and knowledge and wisdom than you do.
Yes.
And so, and I'm not ashamed. And I promote counseling. I promote processing. And that's what, because it's painful.
It is painful.
And when I think about what could have happened, what should have happened, But I've been spared.
Amen.
But it's I need to process that out because it is a moment of pain, and even being back home and you know the little things,
that's
you know, not being able when I first came home, mm-hmm. not being able to sleep straight on my back, but mm-hmm. having to sleep in a slanted slash seated mm-hmm. position, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Experiencing the shortness of breath, mm-hmm. or getting angry the fact that I have to take medication mm-hmm. each and every morning
that
and evening. I'm reminded
an intrusion.
It is. Mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. to plan my day. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is mm-hmm. every day. I have mm-hmm. to plan my day mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. what time I'm taking my medication mm-hmm. and making sure that I don't leave the house without doing so. Mm-hmm. I get angry when it comes to food.
Yes.
I love food.
Yes.
I love going out to eat and things like that. And when the docs told me, basically, that's going to have to be a thing of the past because our restaurants are so loaded with sodium mm-hmm. yeah. that it's not going to be a good benefit, mm-hmm. you know, to you. Mm-hmm. Now, with my cardiac rehab team, you know, they have shared with me, as well as my doctors have shared with me, that if you eat clean on a consistent basis, mm-hmm. then if you go out to eat one mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. you know, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not going to disrupt mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. But if it becomes a regular pattern, mm-hmm. that's the challenge. Mm-hmm. But I love going out to eat. And that's been a particular struggle, mm-hmm. you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And I've had to, and I'm still processing that mm-hmm. out. Because, mm-hmm. and the crazy thing is, when you can't eat something, that's when you really dream about it. All of a sudden, the restaurant, if its color is red, it's that much more redder.
That's right.
Right? Like,
that's right.
What the heck is going
that's
on
right.
here?
That's right.
So, you know, I have to discipline myself mm-hmm. and talk it out and mm-hmm. make sure. And I actually had to go back into the hospital about a week and a half after my heart attack, and I didn't want to share anything with anyone, but because I didn't want to scare mm-hmm. anyone, mm-hmm. and I just got out, and I didn't mm-hmm. want to go back in. Mm-hmm. But you know, my anything that caused my heart rate to accelerate, you know, caused a great deal of pain,
oh.
and so I you know read through the book, and they told me if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, mm-hmm. then you need to you know call out call. So I called and. They share with me, you need to come back in. So the good news was that my heart, the conclusion was my heart is just still healing
yes.
From the stents that were placed in me.
Okay.
So they measure these troponin levels that your body emits when you're having a heart attack. And
okay.
when I had one, it was 0.7, something like that.
Okay.
But when I went back, it was like 0.02.
Okay.
So that was good news. Me learning the what's behind my medication. Like mm-hmm. I don't just take medication just because they told me to take it. Let me rephrase. I take the and
but
I adhere to
know.
That, but I want to know
what
why I'm taking it
that's
and
important.
What is it doing.
That's
so,
right.
What's my blood? Okay. What's my blood pressure? What's my blood thinners? What's my cholesterol? You know, et cetera. It's,
yes.
it's a part of me taking responsibility for what I am consuming and what I'm putting into my body. But it's hard.
It is. It is very hard. And it's going to stay at some level of difficulty probably
yes.
the rest of your life. But
yes.
you'll get used to the changes because life is full of transitions.
That's right.
Life is full of changes. There's a
yes.
song, everything must change.
That's
the
right.
seasons.
That's right.
Fall turns to, you know,
that's
winter,
right.
and winter turns to spring, and
that's
spring
right.
turns to summer.
There's a gentleman in my congregation who, you know, shared with me that he has had challenges with his heart ever since he was younger, when he
yes.
was in his 30s, and
mm-hmm.
he was sharing with me how, mm-hmm. you know, in the beginning, it's naturally you're going to live in the extreme. But after a while, you'll find a medium.
That's right.
You'll find a middle ground. And so I appreciate, you know, his wisdom
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, the men in particular, you know, at Advent have, you know, shared their stories and
mm-hmm.
have been, you know, partnered with me to walk, the women as well, but, you know, in particular the men, I'm so grateful for the men of Advent.
That's right. You need that support.
That's right.
You need that support. And you have people praying for you.
Yes.
And there are a lot of research on the value of prayer.
That's right.
And so that's a wonderful support for you. And that you're in counseling.
Yes.
And you're going to be going in and out of counseling.
That's right.
As you need to.
That's
and
right.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
That's okay. What about meditation?
So it's very, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because my my doctor in the hospital, in a sense, he gave me non-medical advice, right? He shared with me, he said, Mr. Jones, you, when it comes to stress, you don't sweat the small stuff.
That's right.
Your heart is a muscle, but it can be an emotional muscle.
Absolutely.
And when you stress, when stress comes around, your heart constricts. Mm-hmm. And especially in this compromised state, we don't want that. So he said, you know, if I were you, I would encourage you to incorporate, you know, not only prayer, but, you know, meditation and things like that. Because you have to learn how to better manage your stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, meditation principles, mm-hmm. without question, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And prayer, absolutely. And just being still. Mm-hmm. I'm actually craving for
silence,
that stillness
is important.
And silence as well.
Is important.
And you have to intentionally incorporate, mm-hmm. that into your world, because if you're, mm-hmm. not, then you're just going to get swept up with everything that comes around.
Well, what it does is it helps you to stay in the present moment.
That's right, yes.
And not take on the past.
Yes.
And not take on the future.
That's right.
And so we all could benefit,
yes.
from prayer times that incorporate silence.
That's right.
They call it contemplative prayer disciplines.
Yes.
And we need that. And I'm so glad that, you know, you're working with that. And
yes.
anything I can do, I'll be happy
Please.
To.
And
to
learning
share with you.
And educating oneself. You know, mm-hmm. the whole purpose of education is to, in my mind, is to teach you and equip you with the tools so that you can do research yourself.
That's right.
To not always have to depend on some other
That's
place
right.
or sort, but you can research the information for yourself. And so educating myself on heart attack for 101,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether that's through reading, whether that's through YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, reading the resources that, mm-hmm. the Ohio Heart Association, mm-hmm. provides, your doctor,
mm-hmm.
provides,
mm-hmm.
But we have to learn, why did I have this heart attack?
Mm-hmm.
So I learned, so for example, mm-hmm. when I had my heart attack, my good cholesterol was low. My,
mm-hmm.
bad cholesterol was double what it should have been.
Okay.
When I had my blood work a few weeks ago, my good cholesterol is still low.
Okay.
My bad cholesterol is low as well. But the reason is because my cholesterol medication, it lowers cholesterol, period.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't discriminate between what's good and what's bad. It just lowers it. But
okay.
my doctor said to me that to counter that is diet and exercise.
Oh.
Everything, when it comes to my blood work, everything really comes down to diet and exercise.
Okay.
And so educating myself on, you know, what is cholesterol and how has it built up in my body, et cetera. Learning about my heart. This has been, as a result of this experience, I've had to do a lot of research about my heart,
okay.
and how it affects my body, my,
mm-hmm.
medication, how,
mm-hmm.
it all works together in harmony with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah.
Self education is very important.
The more, for me, the more you educate yourself, the less fear.
Yes, that's true for me also.
The less fear you have.
And I think that's true of everybody.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's true of everybody. Well, we have a little time left. And so maybe in a few minutes, can you tell me, just listing, what's your recovery? When you go to your rehab,
yes.
what do you do?
So my I take cardiac rehab 3 days a week for about an hour at OSU East. I have a phenomenal team. It's CarePoint East, excuse me.
Oh, good.
A phenomenal team,
mm-hmm.
That monitors my, it's pretty much just treadmill work. I do
okay.
an upper body cycle as well as a seated elliptical,
mm-hmm.
As well as treadmill. So I'm on the cycle for about 15 minutes, the seated elliptical for 15 minutes, and the treadmill for 15 minutes. And my pace, when I first started out, it was, you know, 3.2 in terms of pace, and then at an incline for 2.0. But now that I've been given clearance to proceed further, I can push the limits a lot more. Mm-hmm. Let me press pause really quickly. I was given clearance to go back to the gym in January, at the beginning of January. And it wasn't until the middle of January where I actually landed back into the gym. And I'm on the treadmill and I'm overwhelmed with anxiety.
Yes.
Overwhelmed with fear.
Yes.
And just what's going to raise my heart rate again. Mm-hmm. I was paralyzed, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. And I went back the next day and pushed myself a lot further than normally I would have. And I was just so grateful because my heart was racing, but there was no pain. There was no burning. And I had a conversation with my cardiologist, and he had shared with me that physically, you're good. The two out of the three main, you know, arteries that, you know, provided, you know, support to your heart, those open and clear. But you have to overcome that psychological, okay. you know, barrier.
Okay.
So he said cardiac rehab is the place where you can push those boundaries, mm-hmm. because I'm connected.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything that's wired
You're
up to me.
You're being monitored.
I'm being monitored,
yes.
while I'm doing something. They take my blood pressure before I begin, and they take my blood pressure before I leave.
Yes.
And if there's any concerns, then they can address those there. But they also provide an educational component as well, nutrition, resistance training, high blood pressure, to educate you not just physically but also mentally as well,
okay.
to equip you with the tools that you need so that you can be successful and won't have to come back because you were not prepared.
Okay.
So I will be graduating from cardiac rehab the latter part of March.
Okay.
And I actually asked if I could stay. I've gotten comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a comfort that I have gotten because I know somebody is watching me.
Mm-hmm.
But insurance won't pay for all that. but no, they are trusting that they have equipped me with the tools when I graduate, you know, so that I can be successful. But cardiac mm-hmm. rehab has been instrumental.
Oh, yes.
to my recovery.
It's vital. It's
yes.
really, it's vital.
Yes.
It's vital.
I also have met with a nutritionist there.
Yes.
And there's a lady who is a part of the team. I ask my specific questions to, and she shared with me. For example, like I mentioned earlier, I love sodium, right? I mean, I love soda.
That's what you said.
And
yes.
And so to transition away from that,
yes.
I went to a carbonated flavored water.
Yes. Yes, I
but
love
I,
that.
I took that to the lady, and she said, no.
Oh, that's right. It's got too much sodium in.
Well, actually, there's nothing that's connected to my heart, but there's a flavor called aspartame.
Oh no.
And,
yes.
And
yes.
that has had
yes.
links to other
yes.
other things as
yes.
well.
No.
And so, and I was angry because I'm like, I feel like everything is being taken away from me. But she gave me other options. I need some kind of flavor, right? In addition to just straight water, I need some kind of flavor. And so she gave me some other options that I've been more than satisfied with. So I haven't had a soda since before my heart attack.
Well, is it okay if you take water and put lemon in it, or water, orange slices?
Yeah, absolutely.
A few orange slices. It doesn't have to be sweet.
It doesn't. That's correct. You know, we can be
delicious.
Creative, and there's
uh-huh.
Pinterest, and there's
uh-huh.
you know, Google to kind
of. What about the soda? I don't have one of those, but the machine that's supposed to turn your water into fizzy water.
Yeah. So I am unfamiliar with that, so I can't comment on
okay.
that. I just kind of stick to the basics.
Okay.
What's easy and what I can grab real quick
that's
as
right.
I get ready to go.
That's right.
But I have to be intentional. Planning my day.
Yes.
I prepare my food before I leave the house, so all my food is with me. Everything that I have is with me that I need, because I know me,
mm-hmm.
and I know that if I don't have what I need, I am more
You'll
likely
go off the
reservation.
To
go off
yes.
the reservation.
Well,
and I don't
you
need
know,
to do that.
One of the things we love, we only use as a sweetener stevia.
Yes.
So you can look it up.
Yes.
It doesn't do anything bad to
That's
you.
That's correct,
and,
yes.
And you need the liquid, not
yes.
the powdered, because it has some kind of alcohol derivative in it that
I
never
see.
Leaves your body.
Oh, wow.
So you have to use the liquid stevia.
I see.
But
okay.
that's all we use as a stevia.
I got you.
Well, I just praise God and thank God that you're here, and
yes.
I'm looking at you, and you're talking, and you're well, and
yes.
you're doing so well, and your wonderful family,
yes.
and I thank you for sharing.
I appreciate
this journey into heart health with us.
Yes, thank you so very much.
And I normally read a poem before we leave, but I want to thank you. And listeners, this has been Pastor Colin Jones, Reverend Colin Jones, and he is the pastor of Advent United Church of Christ, 2303 North Cassidy Avenue. And he has been sharing his personal journey into heart health. And before we leave, though we may have a few moments to chat some more with some last thoughts, I do like to share a poem or prayer with you listeners, because our mission is to give information that's uplifting. And this is uplifting. It's anytime you learn about a challenge that any of us could have or have had, and we find ways, God gives us ways to be able to address that challenge for our good and the good of those that we love, we find that to be edifying and uplifting. And we want you to get information from Faith and Family that would allow you to live abundantly. And that means living life to the fullest. And I think today, Pastor Jones has definitely talked with us about how to live life to the fullest, regardless of what has happened. You know, I often say that we've had some misteaching about blessings. We talk about blessings as if when all good stuff is happening and when we're just having a great time and nothing is happening, well, we're blessed. And when things aren't going so well and we have life's natural challenges, because these are part of natural challenges of life, then we're not blessed. But that isn't so. We are, on our worst day, we are blessed. And on our best day, we are blessed, because we are in relationship with our Christ, our Jesus, our God, our Creator, who helps us and is in the middle of it with us. And we have a relationship with God and with others who love us and will help us to live faithfully and to live that abundant life. And that's true of whatever faith that you're in. And we understand that. So we're all blessed in every situation because we have a Creator who's faithfully, who is faithful and who sustains us and walks with us in it and through us to provide for the best outcome, whatever that is. So today I want to read a poem, Where We Are, God Is. We do not need cathedral's spire or stone-carved temple grand. To worship our dear God above, we can pray just where we stand. We do not need the songs of choirs, though beautiful they are. We can sing our own sweet praises as we travel near and far. We can stand in fields of new grain, on the desert shore of Glen, make our vow of sweet surrender, and begin our lives again. With renewed life, love, and spirit, casting off our worldly care, we can face each awesome challenge, knowing God is always there. These words were written by Gertrude Blau Byram, and I'm reading from Set My Spirit Free. And you know I love to read these little booklets, inspirations from the Salesian inspirational books. And I think that is so edifying and so uplifting, as has been your witness, dear friend. It's been uplifting. It's been inspiring. It's been really filled with gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that is so important in life.
Yes.
To be grateful. And I could hear in your story all the moments of gratitude.
Yes. And post the event, I'm grateful to share my story.
Yes.
With the hope, because I'm all about preventative care. And I share my story with the hope that other people will be encouraged to, or persuaded to go to the doctor And to take care of themselves.
And to listen to themselves, yes, the way ma'am. That you did.
Yes.
And I just am so appreciative that you did, and so glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank
whole
you very
and
much.
Healthy. Yes. So, listeners, we will be with you again on Faith and Family. It's been our delight, our pleasure, our joy, and our blessing to bring Pastor Jones to you today to share his story in the hopes that it will help you.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shout, after I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter, take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water, catch California slipping, never, lest they imposters, you already know, Cali mountaintops with snow, the Sierras in the Rockies, snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky, I'm riding, we'll hit you with the super soaker, life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Looks.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.